On that same note, our scripture today is from the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read again three very short verses. And may the Lord bless them to us all this morning. The word of the Lord says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And so, Father, Lord, work these words in us today. May we rejoice always. May we constantly pray. And may we give you thanks in every circumstance, knowing, Father, that this is indeed your will for us. Let us hear your words now, we ask for Jesus' sake, amen. So here we are. We are in the closing thoughts of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. We've been talking about this section for a couple of weeks, how Paul is issuing this congregation some final instructions that will, if kept, will serve to make their already wonderful life together even stronger. Remember what we've said about the kind of nature that this church has. They love each other. They are patiently enduring tribulation together. They are unified. They're steadfast. They are firm in the faith. If you'll recall from the opening of the letter how Paul said to them, "We constantly remember," verses 2 and 3, "we constantly remember your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember how when we were with you, how hungrily and obediently you received our gospel as it really is, not just the words of these three men who showed up on your doorstep, but as it truly is, the very word of God. We are confident that the Spirit of God is working mightily in your midst. And so let's make a great thing even better. Keep on building each other up in the Lord." And here we've had this series of brief instructions. Each one of them, I kind of likened them to icebergs, right? Each one of them is just a few words on the surface of the page, and underneath is this wonderful, it's pregnant with meaning. Each one of them is food for thought. Each one of them deserves a time of reflection and meditation. Okay, this is like a little handbook for a church's life together as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus. And as we place ourselves before God, asking him to do his good work in us, sanctify us through and through, spirit, soul, and body, so that when the day of the Lord comes, we will be prepared and we will rejoice. And so far, the ones that we have dealt with, if you'll look at the page of your Bible, the ones that we have dealt with up to now, can be thought of, if you please, as one another's. Okay, they had to do with our various interpersonal relationships as members of this congregation. So verse 12 and verse 13, if you'll recall, they had to do with our relationships with each other as leaders and flock. Okay, and it also says, "Be at peace among yourselves." Okay, so your relationships with each other in the flock. And then last time, verses 14 and 15 had to do with our pastoral care for each other, how we heal each other, and we help each other overcome our various spiritual maladies and difficulties and hindrances. Okay, we sharpen each other. If necessary, we warn each other. Always, of course, for the other one's good. Okay, never with an aim to destroy another person or to cut them down. It's always with this holiness in mind, okay? We're trying to prepare each other. We're trying to all get prepared for the great day of the Lord's appearing, okay? So that's what we've been at so far. Here in these verses that we have today, 16 to 18, kinds of shift from the one another sort of commands to what's going on inside each of you as you wait for the great day. What ought the inner disposition of a man or a woman, each and every one of you in Christ, what ought the inner disposition to be like? The whole, this church, this room, the whole is the sum of its parts. Am I right? If the congregation is going to be healthy and functioning and spirit-filled, if we are going to be a light in the world, then the individuals each has to be that way too, right? So we say, rejoice always. Well, you can't get a bunch of joyless people together in a room and suddenly when they're together, they are joyful. Is that right? The whole is the sum of the parts. You can't take a bunch of individuals who are prayerless, put them together in a room, and find that somehow, miraculously, now their prayers are effective and powerful. People who are not baseline thankful in the rest of their lives when they're apart are not suddenly going to have, you know, when we get together in this room, going to be able to stir it up when we're together. It's all going to be a bunch of pretending, isn't it? Isn't it just going to be a masquerade? We will pretend to worship. We will mouth our way through songs. We will snooze during the prayers. We will pass through our days without any real sense of appreciation of God, no sense of wonder, no worship, no hungering for God, and certainly nothing attractive so that the world sees, you know, Jesus might be worth my attention, okay? So what I'm saying is these three, mainly, I say mainly, not exclusively, but mainly are commands for the individual Christian life. Yes, they apply to us as a body. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Okay, clearly these are things that can be done as a group, and in fact should be done as a large part of our time together. And frankly, this is what we do. I mean, if you look at your bulletin, is this not what we do? Rejoice, the Lord is King. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts. And we pray, and then later we'll give thanks. I mean, this is worship. I mean, take these three commands, you throw in a sermon, and what have you got? You have got a complete worship service, okay? That is what is to be done in the assembly, all of these things. But what is going to be done in the assembly must first exist in the heart of each of you. So these are commands for the inner man, so to speak. Okay, we had some that were how to behave towards each other. Now these are for you inside. Okay, each of you who believe, but obviously as you practice these more and more, then when we get together, it will be amplified. Do you understand? It will naturally rub off on those who are around you when, as our sister said, I am happy today. Well, I should hope so. There's a lot of reason to be happy. I would hope that everybody here is happy. And then when people come into our assembly who don't know the Lord, they will then and only then see that God truly is among you. Now when I say they're commands, maybe that's overstating the case a little bit. You know, how do you command somebody to rejoice? I don't think you take that as a command, right? I would think it's more like a recipe. Okay, this is a recipe. Here is what to do. If you wanted to make something really special for your dinner or for your dessert, something that is going to blow people away and something that people will be talking about for a long, long time, okay, what do you do? You got to follow the recipe. Okay, you have to follow the instructions. You don't think of the instructions as commands. Sometimes when you talk about commands, people get defensive. Well, you know, you don't get defensive when Betty Crocker tells you, you know, here's how to make the dinner. Dude, you don't say, you're telling me how to run my life. No, please, tell me how to do this. This is what I want. We want to follow these instructions. They are not burdensome. Okay, they're in the imperative mood. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Yes, they're imperatives, but that does not make them an imposition on us. What we have here is a recipe for a satisfying, fulfilling, fruitful, and God-pleasing life. Three short instructions. A recipe for the fullness of life. The will of God. It says the will of God for you. This is what we want to do. Do we not pray, thy will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven? Well, here it is, the will of God for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Now, before I go one bit farther, I want to point out to you that the three determining words in this short passage are in Christ Jesus. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What am I getting at? I am saying that there are lots of people who are joyful, right? I assume everybody here knows some cheerful people. And many people pray. Some people even pray very, very much to whatever idea of God or powers that be that they think there are. And many people say that they are grateful. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. It's, what, 5-6 weeks from now. Okay, Thanksgiving is coming up. There's the Christmas season after that. You are going to hear a lot from a lot of people who do not know the salvation in the Lord Jesus, but you'll hear them saying things about thankfulness, joy. There will even be prayers, okay, things of a religious bent, a religious turn of mind. This is the time of year when people are thinking a lot more about those kinds of things, and heads are going to be bowed around the tables, perhaps more so than at other times of the year. You have your family around you. You have some nice hot chocolate fireplace, okay? Joy, happiness, thanksgiving. And yet, very many of those lives, okay, even though to some degree they seem to contain these three ingredients, these three elements, those lives will continue unsatisfying, unfulfilling, and ultimately hopeless because the season passes, right? I mean, the tinsel loses its glitter. And then all you have is the gray of winter. And so the joy fades, and so does the prayers are forgotten, and then the thanksgiving passes. In Christ Jesus, it's not a season. This is permanent. It's not a cycle, do you see? It's here to stay. It's from now on, once and for all, world without end. It's evermore. I love that the King James says, not just always, it says rejoice evermore, from now on and forever. There was a new birth, and now I have a new life, and that is never going to cease. I, myself, am going to live forever. I have a Savior who doesn't change. I have a cleansing fountain that is not going to run dry. I know His love for me does not fade. I know He's going to raise me from the dead. I know He's going to give me an inheritance that can never spoil. I have a victory that is guaranteed. And for the now, I have been equipped, the Bible says, with everything I need for life and godliness. I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me, and who can take that away? Nobody can take that away. In fact, the Scripture says that all things are mine in Christ Jesus. All things are yours in Christ Jesus. Now, remember last week, we kind of kept going back to Christ Jesus for every one of our needs, every one of our spiritual ailments. He is the remedy for anything that troubles our peace and our fellowship. And so here we are again. It's all about Christ Jesus. Can you see that joy or rejoicing is a uniquely Christian trait? It can only be a Christian trait. Real rejoicing can only be a Christian trait. What do I mean by that? I'm saying, what else is there on earth that is going to tell you, be glad because it is finished? You are in good hands. Cast all your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Let go your anxieties. quit with this spinning your tires and try harder and do better and climb 199 steps and do all of the things, and if you do them just right and toe the line, then maybe God will let you in. Okay? That is every other religion in the world, and there is no way they can offer you joy forevermore. You can never know if you have done well enough, but in Christ Jesus, it is done. By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being sanctified. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Your Creator has you in the hollow of his hand and won't let you go. You're clean, you're righteous, you are loved in Christ Jesus. Rejoice forevermore. The yoke is broken. You may go free. You have peace with God in Christ Jesus. That goes today, and it goes from now on. In the book of Romans, Paul says this: if when we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more now that we have been reconciled to him, how much more shall we be saved by his life? And not only that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we received that reconciliation. Okay? Only in Christ Jesus. Do you see what I'm getting at? Joy can only be a Christian trait. Only in Christ Jesus are you reconciled to God. Only the heart set free by Christ can say, I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand, and I will never be shaken. My heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. Even my flesh can rest in hope, because I know you will not leave me in the grave. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You make me full of joy in your presence. Jesus told the disciples to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Isn't that enough reason? Do you know that there's rejoicing in heaven because of you who believe? Can you see the Lord's joy when he says, be glad with me, I found my lost sheep? He found you. You belong to him. He's glad. It was right that we should be merry and glad, because your brother was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. You can rejoice in this too, that though the world is a dark, dark place full of misery, the true light is already shining. That is something to rejoice about, because the world will get you down. You'll look out there and you will say, why doesn't God do something about it? He is doing something about it. Day is dawning. Do you know that you have many, many brothers and sisters in Christ, and you have new ones each and every day because the true light is already shining? They were lost, just like you were lost, but now they are found, just like you have been found. Paul says, now we truly live since we know that you stand fast in the Lord. So you can have joy knowing Christ is alive and he is working. Scripture says, also rejoice with the wife of your youth. She is the gift of God, or he is the gift of God. He is your companion, something to be glad in every day. Scripture says you can rejoice in your labor. You know that by the work of your hands, you are exercising the creation mandate. God made us in his image to have dominion over the works of his hands, and you use your mind, your body, your skills to glorify God, to make something of his creation. You can be the instrument of his blessing to someone else. In Christ Jesus will revolutionize the way that you think about having to get up and go to work tomorrow, or kids go to school tomorrow. In Christ Jesus changes it all. You don't have to drag yourself in there. You are being renewed in God's image, and in Christ Jesus you are taking your place in his creation. Rejoice in spite of your troubles. I know you have them. Rejoice in your troubles. The Bible says the Lord is near and he will not let you go. James says to count it joy when you have troubles. Peter says, rejoice that you partake of Christ's sufferings, so that when his glory is revealed, you also will be glad with exceeding joy. What are these guys talking about? Are they mad? No. The Lord disciplines those he, what? Loves. He loves you. That is something to be glad in. You have, in Christ Jesus, a right relationship with your Creator. You have an incorruptible inheritance, and it is on the way. All things are yours in Christ Jesus. Never let anyone spoil your rejoicing. And prayer. Again, what are the most important words? In Christ Jesus. Prayer only means anything at all. Prayer only does anything at all if it's in Christ Jesus. Millions of prayers every day go up into the air, and they go no place because there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. God is only your heavenly Father. He's only anyone's heavenly Father through his Son, Christ Jesus. If you do not belong to Christ Jesus, God is not your Father. But if Christ is yours, then access to the Father is your birthright. The scripture tells us here, use that birthright. Use it a lot. Use it for everything. We are bidden to come to God with confidence. How often we hesitate, we shrink away in fear. No, the Bible says, come forward. Come into the mercy and the grace and the warmth of the light of the heavenly audience chamber. Offer to God your sacrifices of praise and petition. Let your whole life be a life of prayer. Now, you who come Wednesday nights, we have been studying prayer for a good long time. You know Jesus Christ is what it's all about. He is our prayer teacher. He is our prayer example. I know that to some of you, as it was once to me, prayer is like uncharted waters. You know, I don't feel like I know how to do this. I do not know what to say. I know this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, but to me it seems like kind of a duty. It's a burden that I don't think I can bear. This world of prayer, it's a mystery to me. I can completely sympathize with that. I absolutely know how that feels. And there's a part of me now that says, oh, no, you got to realize this. God is your Father. He's your dad. Don't you know how to talk to your dad? Of course you know how to talk to your dad. Just talk to him. But I understand, okay, you feel like you and dad speak different languages. You feel like there's a vocabulary, a prayer vocabulary that you should learn. That is simply just not true. The Father in heaven speaks your language. He speaks your heart language. He speaks all heart languages. He knows the inner thoughts that you have. Even those things that you cannot express in words. You just groan inwardly. The Father knows that. The solution to the life of prayer does not come from having a prayer vocabulary. Okay? It comes from an understanding of who Jesus is, from who he is now to you, and who you are in him. It's the understanding of the office of Jesus, if you please. What am I saying? Who is Jesus? He is to us our high priest. The scripture says that he is our intercessor. We have to know what does it mean that Christ is our high priest? The high priest is the go-between between God and man. He is in the Father's presence right now. His never-ceasing activity right now, constantly and for eternity, is prayer. He is, like you and me, a flesh and bones man. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what we need. He is constantly praying for us. The Father hears the prayers of the Son all of the time. The Son asks and the Father gives. He He sees our weaknesses and knows what we need. He dwells next to the Father and he says, look upon their weakness and have mercy. Pardon their sins for my sake. Supply the things that they need. The song says he shows his wounded hands and claims us as his own. He asks and the Father grants his petitions. And he says that in himself we draw near to the Father through him. We are being invited. We are being called into the presence of God. Ask and you shall receive. You who are fathers, you who are parents, know what it is to give good things to your children. And Jesus says, you know how to do this, and you're sinners. The Father in heaven is only good. Certainly he will call you close and say, come near my son, come near my daughter. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? That is who Christ is. He is your high priest. If you realize this, your prayer life will grow. If you realize who you are in him, your prayer life will grow. Who are you? The scripture says you are kings and priests unto God. As kings, what are kings? Kings are people that have dominion. Kings are the rulers of God's handiwork. You and I in Christ are those through whom God rules his creation. And as kings, all we have to do is send the message up to the high king about the necessary things we need to rule his affairs in our corner of his kingdom. Is he not going to send down from the throne everything that we need? That's your role as a king. Your role as a priest, you do what your high priest does. You intercede to God for man. You bear the cares and the concerns of a struggling world up into the heavenly realms, and you dwell there in the presence of God, and you come forth and you bless men and women in the name of God. That is you as a priest. Everything around us, friends, everything needs the touch of God. Everything needs to be to have the blessing of God. If there is no link, how will the blessings come down? The blessings come through you and me, kings and priests unto our God, only in Christ Jesus. Prayers only have an effect in him. And be thankful. Be thankful in everything. Be thankful in the mundane. Be thankful in the extraordinary. Be thankful in the good. Be thankful in the bad. Just like these brothers and sisters in Christ had it. Remember, they patiently endured tribulation. What is thankfulness? It is simply honoring God for his goodness, isn't it? Isn't God the source of every good gift in your life and mine? Don't we talk about providence? What does providence mean? It means that God provides. He provides. Contentment and thankfulness, they're very closely related, aren't they? Some people, all they see, they look out into the world and all they see is what they don't have. All they see is the gaps. All they see is the bad. All they see is what others have, what they're envious of. And they do not appreciate the provision of God. They don't appreciate the blessings of a simple life. Simple pleasures. A simple faith. The scripture says that with much treasure comes much worry. A simple life is a blessed life. Better is one handful with peace and rejoicing than two handfuls with strife and vexation of spirit, yes? I think you have to start with the little things. We have little things and we have big things in our life to give God thanks for. If you can't start with the little things, I don't think you're going to be able to give God thanks for the big things. Do you ever stop to think, like today, what are we going to do? We're going to go eat. Do you ever stop to think about the simple pleasure of just, say, an orange, a banana? We just consume our food. We don't consider the simple pleasures of cheese and crackers, chicken noodle soup, a bunch of grapes. Don't you understand? God is giving these simple things to you as a gift, and they are a source of rejoicing. God grew the tree. God brought that ship safely into harbor. God gave you 49 cents to buy a banana, okay? Thanks, Father. I really appreciate that you were so kind and gentle to me as to feed me today. I thank you for my seeing eyes. I thank you for a car that has gas in it. I thank you for a blanket and a pillow and a couch and a movie and a bowl of popcorn to have with my family. I thank you for the beautiful day, the turning of the seasons, for all of your marvelous works that just stun me and dazzle me. I thank you for your incredible wisdom. I thank you for kids to love, a wife to share my life with, brothers and sisters to love and to sharpen each other. And I thank you, Lord, for your light that shines in my life, that takes away my foolishness and my darkness. And I thank you, Lord, for that terrible cross. Through that cross, through that empty tomb, that is why there's any joy in my life at all. I thank you for my clear conscience. I thank you for your dear presence in my life to cheer me and to guide me. And yes, Lord, I even thank you for this thorn in the flesh, for this limitation, for this pain. Maybe not so much thanks for it, but I thank you in it. Because you're in my life. This weakness gives you an opportunity to show yourself present. It gives you an opportunity to exert your power in my life as I wait. As I endure and as I overcome, I am strong. Thank you for the name of Jesus that's written on my forehead that makes me know I am yours. I thank you for answered prayers. I thank you for new prayers so that I will just wait and see what you're going to be doing in my life next. And I thank you for revealing yourself to my darkened heart. Be glorified in me. Be glorified in us. Live a life of rejoicing. Let me live a life of prayer. Let me live a life of thanks from now on, from here on out, evermore, in the good and in the bad and in the happy and in the sad. I want to worship you because that's what this is all about. That's what all these three are about. They're about worship. Not just this block of time in our week to assemble, to worship, to have a worship service, but worship lived hour by hour, day in and day out. You see the connector in all these three verses? Rejoice always. Always. What time does always exclude? Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. Okay, we are not talking about acts of worship. We're not talking about rituals. We're not talking about rites. We're not talking about moments of pious energy. We are talking about Christ in me, Christ in you, living a life of worship. Jesus said, I came so that they might have life to the full. John says, in him there is life. Jesus said, whoever comes to me will never again thirst, will never again hunger. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, never ceasing rivers, a never-ending spring, a flood continuously welling up from within the one who belongs to Christ Jesus. We worship God together. Let's bow our head in prayer. Father, thank you for our Savior, Christ Jesus, our life, the one who has redeemed us from our lost state and has given us, has brought us so very many blessings, Lord, the small and the big. We thank you, dear Father. We rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the reconciliation. Thank you for the cleansing blood. I pray, dear Father, for each of my loved ones here today. I pray, Lord, that as our days bring into our hearts things that would take away our joy, our challenges, Lord, our griefs, the sins of the world around us, Lord, our temptation to lose heart, I pray, Father, that you would seal these scriptures to us so that we can remember it is possible even to rejoice in the midst of those, that when we are worn down, we can still give thanks, that when there is trouble, we can pray at all times, that when we need you, Father, you are there. You have promised always to be there for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, draw us close to yourself. Draw us up into the heavenly realms. Let us see you with the eyes of our heart, and let us praise you and worship you now and forevermore. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.